WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Pro Wrestling Sports Entertainment.
Any man who falls behind is left behind.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
A craftsman is always pleased to hear his work is appreciated.
Bringing you the news and everything else in the world of professional wrestling.
I'm not entirely sure that I've had enough rum to allow that kind of thing.
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Fine gentleman, don't you think?
The Omega.
Don't dare impugn me on that boy.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
So this is your able-bodied crew.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler, Keishi Matsunaga.
No one is no one.
Distant cousin of my aunt's nephew, twice removed. Lovely singing voice, though. Unique.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I'm told it's the latest fashion in London.
And the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Me, I'm dishonest. And a dishonest man you can always trust to be dishonest.
Hey, this is the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock.
This is Lance Storm, and if I can be serious for a minute.
And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll and the very first undisputed champion in WWE history. And you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
It's WTR Sunday Night.
You're supposed to be dead!
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is the holiday season, you know, sleigh bells ringing, presents under trees, menorahs being lit, other things being lit. Rock is Roasted Fiend kosher? I don't know.
I have to look that up. I'm going to do some research.
Yeah. Get back to me.
I'm going to ask Lone Jobber, and we'll see what he says. He'll know more.
Good. Yeah, we just finished the TLC Tables, Ladders, and Chairs 2020 pay-per-view. A lot of stuff happened, and I think we all have opinions on it, and hopefully we do, or else this is going to be a boring show. So let's get to it. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight, well, Sir Rockin's here.
Yeah!
Pay-per-view night.
Woohoo!
We also have with us one Keishi Matsunaga.
Yeah!
It's just the energy, is it? Yeah!
I'm the least extra tasty crispy wrestler that will be mentioned this evening.
I mean, hopefully, of all the wrestlers we speak of, you are not the most crispy. I hope not.
Me too.
And, of course, the one who has to keep it all running on the track smoothly as best he can, the one and only Tim Stein.
Oh, yeah, sure. After all that, expect me to come up with something original. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the final WTR Sunday Night of 2020. I'm really glad that you joined us. Hope you all enjoyed TLC. For me, yeah, pay-per-view didn't suck. That's my opinion. Have a good night.
Oh, an update? Cannibalism isn't kosher, so...
Okay, all right. Just good to know.
Good to know. Just...
Okay, where did that come from?
I asked Jobber. He gave me the answer.
And Jobber is the go-to for all things kosher.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. We got an
answer. Well, he's more Jewish than you are. So.
Exactly. So we got an answer. You asked and we delivered content.
There you go. So, hey, Rock, how's that bacon double cheeseburger that you were working on last week?
Ha ha.
So, there it is. It's in the book, TLC, Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. And last week I said that there were three matches I was looking forward to, and of those three matches delivered, then it would wind up being a very good pay-per-view. The entire night, in my opinion, delivered.
Yeah, it was a fun show.
Yeah, yeah, I'm happy with the show we got.
Yeah, it was entertaining.
It was very, very good for the last show of the year that they did.
By the way, this show is presented by Manscaped.com. Go to Manscaped.com, use code WTLF, save 20% off, and get free shipping right now for all your last-minute holiday gifts.
I was just about to do that, but thank you.
Once again, that's Manscaped.com.
Where is it?
Manscaped.com.
What's the big deal?
I'm not doing the plug three times, Tim. Sorry.
Well, you know, if you want to save money, then go there and use the promo code WTRLive.
There you go. Let's get into the show, Tim.
All right. There was a pre-show.
Yeah. Team Biggie.
Nobody watched it.
Team Biggie won. You know, I say, hey, let's not cover it. What we do, we cover it. Team Biggie won.
I just brought it up because, you know, like it actually happened. So, guys, there was a team. There was a pre-show. And there was a match. Team Big E won.
Good job, Team Big E.
You go, Big E.
There you go. So that's our review of the pre-show. The main show kicked off with the Raw title match.
Yeah, it was yes. Tables, Ladders, and Chairs, Drew McIntyre, AJ Styles. Thoughts, Casey?
I enjoyed it. I was very surprised by the cash in of The Miz. It definitely it made things a bit more interesting. As he, you know, when he jumped in, I thought they did a good job making it kind of tease, like maybe he would just kind of get it and run away right away. And then, yeah, I don't know. Overall, it was pretty good. I think it was a solid way to open the show.
Yeah, it was a very good way to open the show, especially when you had someone decide, hey, I want to join the party, Omega.
Yeah, that was a nice little twist. And I like how the match didn't really waste time. They got into a pretty quick, heavy pace pretty early into it, and it was a pretty solid and intense TLC. And then we get the cash in, and everything goes to chaos.
Mm-hmm.
God, there's a moment where it's like, you know, I want Miz to hold that belt again because it's been a long time, and dude's been super consistent for the WWE, but also, it's against Drew. I don't need to see Drew losing the belt already. But there was a second. There's like a moment. And I was like, ooh, no. But it made it a good twist. It made a good twist. And it did a good job of handling all of the elements. It made sure, like, I like how they used Miz's running buddy to get rid of AJ's running buddy.
Yeah.
Like that cleaned up the match nicely.
And boy, that, what is it, almost? He just grabbed Miz and went, here. Table splat.
Cradled him like a little bitty baby.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really good spot.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a really good we had an interesting gimmick chair spot right after that too.
Yeah, that yeah. It was Morrison grabbed the chair, smacked it back across his back and went, oh.
Yeah, the seat fell off, it bent in half. Like, you know, that almost his back is so hard it will actually make the screws fall out of a folding chair.
I mean, have you ever seen this guy? I mean, you know, it could. Really, really good. He's a big dude.
He's big. Tall drink of water.
Tim, what'd you think of the match?
I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I thought that the cash-in was brilliant. And there are people who are going to be extremely pissed off about it and unhappy. The accepted happening is the guy who cashes in Money in the Bank wins the title. This is what now, the third or fourth time since they've introduced the contract in the briefcase that the contract holder has not won.
Yeah, Sandow and Cena before this.
When they have no plan for the briefcase and they strip someone of the briefcase, it goes to show you there was no long-term future with whoever held that briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why Miz held it, gave it some more legs. But let's be real, I don't think they were going to put the strap on him anyhow, especially right now since they're headed to the WrestleMania season and Drew's going to be money guy. And feel bad for Miz.
No, they did a quick let's make Vince happy, and like Otis makes Vince laugh, so we'll give him the win because it's a good surprise for WrestleMania. And then they scrapped literally everything they were doing with Otis. So by then they kind of realized. I think by then they just kind of decided, you know what? We've spent so long trying to make something work with Otis, and we're not into it anymore, so we're not going to give him the money. We just got to get rid of the Money in the Bank.
Oh, this is why we don't pay him the big bucks. It is the fifth non-cash-in. Cena, Sandow, Corbin, Strowman, and Miz.
Okay, there you go.
Again, that's why
In my defense, you're asking me to remember Baron.
No, I wasn't asking you. I was just saying, that's why we don't pay the intern any money. He just gives us the stats, no money. It's a good deal. We benefit. But Drew retained. Now you've killed two challengers.
I have no problems with Drew keeping the title at all whatsoever. And, of course, that cash, and believe it or not, it will open up storylines. Who's going to be the most pissed off that AJ, that the Miz tried to cash in?
Morrison. Because he's the one that had to run the rest of the night.
Okay, but yeah, but who's going to be the most pissed off where it counts? My money's on AJ.
It's true.
And I see a program, Miz versus AJ, coming up.
I mean, you're going to put a heel versus heel feud?
Or are we switching AJ?
Well, I wouldn't say that they're going to turn AJ completely, but for this feud, I see AJ being a bit of a tweener.
Well, like Team Captain AJ, who's really just trying to bring everybody together.
There you go.
I mean, he's also hiding behind Big Muscle right now, and that's rarely something a face is going
to
do.
I don't want him to turn the Miz, because Miz and Morrison work so well right now.
No, Miz makes a terrible face.
He does. To be a heel. Yeah. So, but yeah, I just see that happening, and Drew standing on the sidelines, kind of chuckling, and the winner gets another title shot. Ultimately,
guess we'll have to see.
Maybe I'll use that as a prediction.
Maybe.
We might do a show full of predictions in the coming weeks. You never know. You don't know. We know.
I don't know.
What's next?
I don't know.
You're gonna know.
Yes, guys, we're doing a prediction show in 2 weeks, January 3rd, live, when we return live. We're not on next week. There's your answers.
Ooh.
There you go. Next match, Tim.
Up next, we had Sasha versus Carmella. I was expecting very little out of this one, guys.
And it was Carmella. You have all the reason to.
Yeah, but...
But why would you expect nothing from her when she's given the ball? She delivered.
Yeah, stop that.
I know. I mean, with Carmella, I just don't expect much during a match, because she's improved, but it has been a slow and gradual improvement.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, going into a match like this, especially when, you know, it feels like a foregone conclusion. Like, I'm not in any way, shape, or form expecting Carmella to take the belt off of Sasha. So, you know, going into this, I genuinely felt like this is going to be pretty much by the books women's match, just to give Sasha another win.
And it did give Sasha another win, but you know, just step outside for a second watching the match. Were there not like two or three moments where you thought maybe?
I'm honestly trying to think. Like, I'm not sure I ever got to that point.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if I got to that point, but I was very impressed with the match.
Well, I think Carmella delivered a lot more than I was expecting, which turned this into a real pleasant surprise. It wasn't up to Sasha to carry her through the entire match.
No, I thought she held her own very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. So, not letting any cats out of the bag or anything, of course, Sasha retained. But there are a couple of really nice spots at Meteora. Onto what's his name? What's that guy's name?
I don't remember.
You know, Carmella's.
I know his real name because he trained in Calgary.
Yes, no, I was trying kayfabe, buddy, kayfabe.
Yeah, but
I mean, I know who he is. I just can't remember his name.
Just call him the sommelier.
The sommelier.
Reginald.
There Reginald. Yeah,
I remember Carmella's arm candy. Something pompous.
That Meteora he took off the ring apron was pretty good. Sold that like a trooper.
Agreed.
So, but yeah, so that's the women's title match, and of course Sasha retains. Very, very. I don't want to say it was. I can't say it was a 5-star match, but compared to what, let's face it, we were collectively expecting, this definitely turned out to be a pleasant surprise and a very, very good, very entertaining match. It didn't come off as another Monday Night Raw match. It did elevate itself a little bit.
Yeah. You could tell Carmella, with a new gimmick, with a new attitude, she gave everything she had for this one.
Yeah, and so it was good. Kudos to Carmella, and congratulations to Sasha for retaining. And that's that match. Up next, we got the tag match, men's tag team, the Hurt Business challenging the New Day. Guys, all three of us predicted the New Day.
Yep. I mean, that's okay, though.
That's what we get for being optimistic.
There's nothing wrong with that. You know, you figured, you know, the New Day, everybody loves the New Day. We're big fans of the New Day. And that took us a little while, but we came around. But what did you say, Casey, about Hurt Business winning?
I think it's, I mean, it's going to be a good move for them. It gives them something to do. It drives their story forward that they won the title. Now they can be, you know, they can be the three guys who all have gold, and they can walk around acting, you know, pompous and be like, oh, we're great. Here's why we have all these belts.
Oh, you mean they weren't walking around acting pompous beforehand?
Well, yeah, but see, now they have something to back it up, right? So
now they got an excuse.
Yeah, they got reasons and proof. So like it's. And, like, the New Day is going to be fine without the tag titles because they are the New Day. They will still be the New Day. They can still get over as the New Day. I'm not worried about what they're going to do with the New Day. So, yeah, like, putting the titles on the Hurt Business will give them something to do. Like, I mean, Shelton is a great wrestler. He deserves a little bit of a... He deserves a little bit of a rub for a title. I mean, he's been consistent forever. And Cedric, I mean, he's a good wrestler too. So like there's nothing wrong with them having those titles. They're great wrestlers. They deserve to have tag team titles. So, I mean, just because, you know, I didn't vote for them to win doesn't mean that it's not a good thing that they did.
No, this is absolutely true. But, I kind of sort of sense that the seeds for the termination if not the complete faction of the Hurt Business, at least Cedric with the rest of the Hurt Business may have been sown with this match tonight, Omega.
Yeah. Shelton was setting up to finish the match, and then Cedric said, no, me. Hit the lumbar check, got the pinfall.
Yep.
I mean, on one hand, hard to argue result, right?
Yep, exactly. However,
Cedric is being far more forceful in this than I think they actually expected him to be.
And my thing about this type of finish is whenever a blind tag like that happens for the payoff, it usually doesn't work out. It almost never pays off positively for the guy who tags himself in. And as soon as he tagged himself in, I typed in the Skype chat, shut up. Because I figured, well, way to be, this is how they're going to lose and how New Day retains the title. Nope, mini swerve.
I like one of the stats they actually shouted out on commentary. It's rare when one sticks with me, but like, oh, that's actually kind of telling. 17 years since Shelton held tag team gold.
Yeah.
For someone who spent his career as like a tag team specialist.
That's a long time to go between title runs.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
A huge credit to Shelton. Like, you got to remain in tremendous shape to be able to pull something like that off.
Oh, absolutely. And, Shelton Benjamin is really taking care of himself. He does not look his age.
He's 45. What?
It's hard to believe it. I mean, you look at him in ring.
Casey just has summed that up perfectly.
No, wow. That's, geez. I'm not going to look half that good at 45, I'll tell you that much.
No, you don't look. You didn't look half that good at 25.
I didn't look half. No, I don't think I ever. I never looked half that good. I'll tell you that right now.
There you go. I looked half that good at 25, but only half. So, but there it is. We've got new tag team champions. The Hurt Business. Just keep an eye on this down the road as this potential story winds up developing, and all of a sudden Cedric winds up with the biggest ego of the entire faction.
Oh, no. He is going to be pompous and full of himself because he got the pinfall.
Yeah, so we'll see where that goes, I guess. Up next, it is Women's Tag Team Championship match, guys. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler defending their titles against Asuka and the mystery opponent. As we all know, Lana, after getting a surprise victory over Nia on Monday Night Raw, had the literal crap kicked out of her and wound up not being able to compete as Asuka's tag team partner. So
Hold on. She beat the bully in 1 minute and 45 seconds. 13 weeks of build, 1 minute and 45 seconds.
To be fair, would you really want to see a Lana match go any longer?
Yeah, if you're telling the right story, yeah.
Yeah, 2 minutes tops.
No, an actual match. make me care about the character.
Get into the unveiling of Asuka's mystery partner. She had 6 days to come up with somebody. Charlotte Flair returning. Now, who was it that air quotes put Charlotte on the shelf with an arm injury?
That would be what, Nia Jax?
That's exactly correct. So how was this not a great setup for revenge? The second you saw it was Charlotte, did you have any doubts as to the outcome of this match?
No.
No.
No, it's Charlotte. Yeah, it's Charlotte exactly. In the championship match. What's going to happen?
There you go. Foregone conclusion coming up as far as we were figuring. But that being said, what did the commentator say? Nia and Shayna probably kicking themselves now by putting Lana on the shelf.
Yeah,
I bet they're mad at themselves now or whatever.
I mean, it's a nice swerve from WWE because, Asuka had a bailout on Raw.
Yeah.
Which was going to set us up for, like, the obvious replacement partner, and it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. So, good match.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Very entertaining. Despite the fact that when Charlotte come out, and you kind of, well, there it is, it's a championship match, and Charlotte's involved, so, yeah. There you are.
Yep. All the horsewomen of NXT have to check that grand champion box, that grand slam champ box.
Well, aren't you the one that says that's like 3 out of 4 now?
Yeah, it's 3 out of 4, and the only one who hasn't done it won a main event of WrestleMania.
Yep.
So that'll show you how good the women are these days.
Yeah, there you go. And of course, the fourth one. It's going to be a while before she hits the Grand Slam.
Well, she's got to come back and win a tag belt.
There you go.
Well, scratch that. She never won NXT gold. She has to go back to NXT.
Oh, shit. Okay, so she's 2 titles short. We're talking about Becky, by the way, guys.
Yeah.
Just so in case you didn't realize, the new mother of the WWE.
Yeah, she did pop, by the way. So start figuring out how long it's going to be before she wants to come back.
Well, let's see. The baby was born, what, 2 weeks ago?
Roughly. Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised to see her right after WrestleMania.
I think that's too soon.
Don't be surprised.
Okay, Casey, in your expectation, what is the proper length of time before the mother can abandon her child?
Before she can abandon her child is a whole different thing. I mean, here's the deal. Physically, maybe, because it's Becky, and from what I've seen, she has been keeping herself in shape throughout the pregnancy. And if she worked really hard and she had the determination, which I know that she does if she wanted to, she could come back right after WrestleMania. But the unknown factor is whether she'll want to abandon her child at that point. My guess is probably not.
That's a really bad way of putting it, abandon her child.
Well,
I mean, put her in the bubble with a nanny and everything will be fine.
Yeah, but it's I mean, there are so many other factors aside from whether she just wants to come back or not.
Hey, a lot of mothers go back to work within 6 months of giving birth.
Yeah, but so there. A lot of mothers don't.
and most mothers don't fight, fake fight for a living.
Yeah. I don't think it is my opinion. It is my opinion, and I could be wrong, but it is my opinion that regardless of whether or not Becky will be physically ready around WrestleMania or shortly thereafter to come back, there's a good chance that she may not want to at that point because she has a child. And would like to spend some more time with it before she commits to a grueling WWE schedule where she doesn't get to see her child as much.
Or she winds up so sick and tired of having to get up to the midnight feedings that she decides she needs her break. You guys can give me shit all you want, but you've never given birth and been a mother, so neither have I.
How did you about to say?
However, I know a lot of mothers who were more than ready for a couple of weeks off.
Okay.
After 6 months.
Steering the conversation back, Asuka and Charlotte have won the tag team titles. Who do you put them up against next?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I guess that has to be done right away, hey?
I mean, Mandy
there'll be a rematch tomorrow.
Like, Mandy and Dana will just be like a feeder just to give them a win.
Hmm. What about Peyton Royce and...
Somebody.
Billy Kay.
I hate the idea that, like, we broke up the Iconics just to stick them back into a tag situation.
No, well, you might as well, because you're not doing anything good with them as singles.
I was thinking about Lacey Evans.
Yeah.
They did a team, didn't they?
They're still doing it. You don't get to see it. It's on main event, but...
Well, that just means that they're getting them ready.
Yeah, no one wants to see it, though. Everyone wants Billy and Payne. That's the act.
Well, of course, but...
Billy Kay is awesome, as displayed by tonight on the show.
But they're not on the same show anymore. They are trades.
They can fix that easily.
I mean, it might be shocking, but the people who made those rules are also the people who could unmake those rules to make that happen.
Oh no, they're going to do the whole X amount of people can switch between shows, and that's how they'll get them back together.
Anyway, what's the next matchup on the show, Tim?
Up next was another match that I was really solidly looking forward to, and that's of course Roman Reigns defending against Kevin Owens. Wow, one word, three letters. Wow.
Yeah, that was a banger.
Can you correct what the matchup was, though, Tim?
Roman Reigns and Jey Uso versus Kevin Owens in the TLC match.
There you go. That's what the matchup was.
Featuring Paul Heyman.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, the match starts off. Roman comes out, and even before his music finishes, Kevin Owens blindsides him, and this was just a brilliantly booked open to this match. Kevin Owens did exactly what he had to do, absolutely demolishing Roman, at least temporarily, because he knew he'd have to take out Jey. And boy, did he do everything he could. I was reading on Twitter, talking with a Twitter friend of mine, and says, whoa, Kevin Owens just pilmanized Jey Uso. I says, hey, that was a nice pull. He pilmanized him.
Didn't pilmanize him enough.
No, well, unfortunately not as the match progressed. But holy cow. I was expecting Kevin Owens to have to go through hell and back just to get to the end of this match. He did.
Yeah, they pulled out all the stops for this bad boy.
And then some.
I
think they found a couple extra stops nobody knew about.
Roman Reigns is a supervillain. Like, right now, he is the best supervillain WWE has ever booked, because he is just sadistic and unstoppable at the same time. Like, not even like a Lesnar level of, like, brutality is just, you know, ending, you know, like, the match is going to be over within 3 minutes, because I'm just going to brutalize you that fast.
Yeah, but then he's got the smack talk to back it up.
Roman just revels in it.
Well, Roman is really highlighting the sadism part of it, drawing things out, Omega.
Because it's not enough to win. You can't, like, winning physically is easy. You just have to wear someone out. Winning mentally, you have to crush somebody's spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That takes longer. And Roman seems to have a lot of fun getting to that point.
Which is really good. Casey, when you play a heel, if you're having fun playing the heel, doesn't it seem like things go a lot better and you get a better response from the crowd because they pick up your vibe?
Well, yeah, because you take the time to let people know how much you enjoy it. Whereas if you just beat a guy up in 3 minutes, there's not a whole lot to absorb there. Take your time, like, make the guy feel like he just made the wrong decision for messing with you. And yeah, you'll get, you know, does leaps and bounds better.
And what was really good with the booking of this match was basically Kevin had this match won three ways from Sunday if it wasn't for Jey Uso. he had Roman dead to rights all match long, Omega.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, you got your cuz on the outside. It just keeps popping his head in to be annoying every time he needs to be. It's heel tactic 101. You know, have backup to make up for, you know, any time you're losing.
But taken to a higher level, I think.
Well, this is what I meant about breaking someone's spirit in order to defeat them. This is what happened.
Yeah. Is there anything about this match that just didn't ring kosher? Pardon the use of the term.
I'm trying to think now.
Roman getting back on the up in the ring and up the ladder after spearing the barricades, I thought was a little quick.
That's the only moment I can think of.
Yeah. I expected Jey or someone else to kind of get in there and prevent him from grabbing the belt, but
well, then all that of a sudden, that was the John Cena level of recovery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
It's like, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead. Holy shit, are you alive?
I mean, Kevin had a few quick recoveries in there, too.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's always how it is with a ladder match, you know? Like, everybody's gonna climb up the ladder slower than, like, a sloth for some reason. And some people are going to have to, like, recover at a superhuman rate to get in the ring and prevent someone from climbing up a ladder based on timing, distance, other factors of physics that yeah. people don't think about when they plan, when they come up with things that they come up with.
This is why I don't really like one-on-one TLC matches, because the design of the match is to be absolute carnage, a car wreck from bell to bell.
Yep. You
know, when you've got six people involved in the match, you can have big ladder and table spots, and okay, they're down for a good, you know, 5 minutes while everyone else does their crazy spots. You know, when you do something like this, it takes away some of the impact of a lot of those spots because they have to recover so quickly for the pace of the match to work. You know, there's something about a one-on-one TLC that seems to diminish things, like, you know, like a table spot, you know, like a big drop off a ladder.
Yeah, it just makes the big spots look less effective.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, that's kind of why it was nice that, you know, Jay got involved as much as he did, even though, you know, it basically becomes a two-on-one handicap match. It kind of, it helps buffer those spaces that you really shouldn't have. And, I mean, the same thing when Miz cashed in, right?
Right.
You know, that helps create that buffer of, like, the problems that will come up with a one-on-one TLC match. So, they helped a little, but. Yeah, the more people in a TLC match, the better.
Oh, for the days where we had a good tag team division and we could have three tag teams in one.
Well, yeah, but the person who owns the company would have to like tag teams in order for that to happen.
Well, we would also have to have more than like two tag teams at a time.
Well, yeah, but that, once again, if the owner of the company liked tag teams, there probably would be more.
But all in all, thoroughly enjoyable match. It was put together perfectly. It was booked brilliantly. In a match like this, you expect the loser to wind up looking like he lost. Like, you expect the person who lost to look like a loser, is a better way of putting it. Kevin Owens came out of this looking like a winner.
Yep.
Kevin looked damn near impossible to keep down.
Yep.
Despite all the odds.
Well, I mean, it's the spot where, you know, he's been crash and burned outside, and then Roman starts to climb, and then you see him, he just grabs the ankle. He's down. He's completely out, but he's still grabbing onto Roman's ankle.
Yep.
Roman's just laughing at how pathetic it is.
The second that Kevin was set up for that table spot in the corner, I knew Roman was going through the other one, and it was a perfect pop-up powerbomb too.
Oh, but that spear through the table, like,
ouch, that hurt Roman.
But I feel I mean, just the way that Kevin went through and ended up, like, the position that he was in, the way that the table broke, where he just ended up in a seating position and just, like, the table folding just at the exact, like, proper points.
It just, like, crumbling around him.
Yeah, yeah, and I know that, like, you don't plan things like that to happen, but that would have been the perfect way to end a tables match.
That would have been the perfect planning, yeah.
And just, like, you could, like, even if that was, like, the main event of a pay-per-view and it was a tables match and that's how it ended, and then you could, like, zoom out and have that, like, little copyright thing on the bottom and leave him in there just, like, with the table folded over top of him, and you could cut the show with someone crushed through a table just like that. I've never seen it, like, so perfect. And it's too bad that it ended up happening like that in the middle of a match as opposed to ending a match, because I don't think we're ever going to see a table break that perfect ever again.
Yeah, the only problem with that table spot, Roman banged his head really good. I don't know if you caught it
live
or during the replays, but he hurt himself.
Oh, I'm not saying it was the safest table break. It was just the most beautiful looking.
How many times have you gone through a table, Cage?
I think only once.
Really? That's it? Just once?
Yeah.
Did you actually break the table?
Yes.
How much did it hurt?
Actually, it wasn't that bad.
Mm-hmm. Because you broke it with your entire body.
Yeah.
Imagine all of that force on the point of your head.
Oh, I'm not. I'm fully aware about how much that would freaking hurt, because I have hit my head on a table many times.
You've hit your head on a few things a few times.
Yes. And they all hurt.
Owie. So,
but yeah, like, we're never going to see a table break that perfect ever again.
No, I think you're right. But the outcome of this match tells me that we can look forward to more Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns in the near future. And I, for one, am not upset with that. Nope. If this is what we're going to get from those two, shut up and take my money.
100%.
Figuratively speaking at this point in time. But yeah, final match of the night, guys. The Firefly Funhouse match.
Firehouse?
The Firefly Firehouse match.
Fun Firehouse Fly?
The Fire on a Pole match.
The match with fire in it. Randy Orton taking on The Fiend. something weird happened tonight that you don't expect to happen when the Fiend is wrestling.
I mean, there's something weird happened in this match you don't expect to see in wrestling, period.
Yeah, sure. It's understandable to feel let down after, you know, the match that immediately followed.
Yes, but...
And thankfully, these guys did not draw the thing out too much, which that's going to sound like it's taken away from Randy and Bray Wyatt. And I'm not doing that. That's not what that is. It's just after that brutality of Kevin Owens and Roman, if it wasn't for the fact they were using fire as a gimmick in that Firefly Firehouse match, then definitely the SmackDown Championship match should have been the main event. But you can't do that when all this stuff is still smoldering around it. Also, not to blow kayfabe too much, but the match was previously recorded.
No.
Kind of had to be.
it was taped earlier that afternoon.
Yes, it was. But thoughts on this match, Omega?
I mean, I'm first up, props to Randy Orton for looking appropriately like scared and frightened at the right times for various reasons. Yep. Once again, like 2020 has been the year of Randy Orton. I don't know what it is, but you remove the crowds and Randy Orton's work rate just becomes so much better.
Stage fright and lack thereof.
It's like, okay, now we got rid of these fans. Now I can actually let loose. There you go. But no, like I was really happy with this match. You know, the Fiend. Like I'm happy with how the match is performed. I don't like that the Fiend is losing again.
Yeah.
Because the Fiend should be a character that almost never loses.
Yeah.
Like I'm happy with the work. I was with Keishi for a while. I was like, this Inferno match is a disappointing lack of Inferno.
Yeah. And
then they fixed that.
Oh boy, did they ever! I ate my words so hard.
It's like Kane wishes he had this much fire. Like we had the traditional lines of fire. We had barrels of fire. We had pillars of spiraling fire.
Yeah.
What flavor of fire would you like? We have it.
It's like they had monitors of fire.
They had. Well, they also had if we've always previously set up fire wasn't enough for you. Here's some just gasoline cans lying around.
Yeah, they delivered. They delivered with the fire in ways that I did not even fathom. But
they delivered so hard.
Oh yes, very much fire. So good.
Despite the fact that it was not the best of matches to end a pay per view with, it was good. The kicker, Randy, showing his sociopathy.
Is that fire strap?
Yes. Oh my God, the fire strap.
Yeah, fire strap.
Oh, that was, unexpected, but wow, what a pleasant surprise. What a fiery, pleasant surprise.
I almost wish Randy did take a hit from it, because, like, one lash would not have set him on fire.
No, and if you did it fast enough, you probably would have gotten away with it, but.
Yeah.
I am also not mad that they erred on the side of caution and decided not to whip the person who is protected with the fire strap.
I mean, Randy's got came out in hoodie and sweatpants. Like he could have like fire retardant everything under there.
Yeah, hopefully that sweater was 100% cotton and not a synthetic fiber.
One can hope.
Very well done.
Hey, don't worry, Randy. We've lined your outfit with asbestos.
Asbestos? Oh,
let us know.
Jeez. There you are. But okay. You don't like the term. You don't like the word sociopathy.
Sociopath.
He showed his.
I don't know if it was so much the word they didn't like or your pronunciation of it.
Sociopathy.
Yeah.
That's not pronunciation. That's grammatical murder.
Sometimes it's fun to kill words. Try it.
You're a monster.
Anyway, just to show how much of a sociopath Randy was at through the end of the match, Randy actually got the Fiend to light on fire, and once that happened, Randy won. Randy grabbed the gasoline can.
Yeah, turns out Fiends are disabled by fire.
I think anybody's pretty much disabled by fire.
Yeah, but he literally just like shut off.
Well, yeah, he was the victim of an RKO immediately following.
Oh yeah, sure.
That's the straw that broke the camel's back in that experience.
It is the three most devastating letters in sports entertainment.
Just ask the hype man who came up with that idea.
Those letters would be DUI.
Just ask Rob Van Dam.
Yeah, lost two championships to one of those fuckers.
Sorry, but I had a feeling you were going there.
Going there down the wrong direction on the interstate, yeah.
Yeah, but who was his traveling companion?
Sabu.
Yep, there you go. It was all Sabu's fault. Anyway, Randy pours gas pours gas on the fiend and lights him on fire and leaves.
Not like Kane in an Inferno match where, oh my god, my arm's on fire and I'm gonna run to the back where someone's got a fire extinguisher. The fiend is unconscious. We cut away to Randy getting the gas. We come back. They definitely haven't switched the fiend for a mannequin.
No.
Absolutely not. That doesn't happen.
Especially in something pre-taped.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, Randy just sets him like full blow. Everything on fire.
He burned.
Thank God. The one time I am happy that there was no live audience who had to smell.
Lindsay, it's only a murder if he doesn't come back on Monday.
I don't expect him back for a couple weeks.
But he'll come back.
Yeah, but still it was a murder. We witnessed a man get murdered on the WWE Network.
It was an attempted murder.
We'll see.
I thought that was two crows.
I mean, at the least it's arson, right?
Yes.
Attempted arson, or no actual arson.
No, it's not attempted arson. Attempted arson is lighting a match and trying to drop it.
And the wind blows it up before you get there. Yeah, no. It was arson.
I mean, technically, they would both be guilty of arson.
Aggravated assault.
Well, that and you know, the fiend sent the chair on fire and a strap and an axe handle.
Yeah, but that's his stuff. He has the right to do that.
That's fair. But what about the mats on the floor?
Okay, look, WWE knew what they're getting into. I'm sure the legal waivers were signed.
Do the legal waivers of murder by fire get signed too?
Look, I don't question the athletic commission of Florida. You have to remember, we are the state of heat stroke and meth. Like, weird shit happens here, and I don't know who's in charge of it. I expect literally anything out of them.
That's a valid point. Valid point.
So the fiend is dead. Long live Randy Orton.
Something like that.
Who's gonna tell Alexa?
Oh, she knows.
Oh, she Alexa shows us up tomorrow in the fiend mask.
We'll see.
Once that actually happens. There you go.
All right, let's go through Pick'em results, Tim.
Yeah, okay. So thanks, everybody, for playing Pick'em. Here's how y'all did. In 10th place, we got a big-ass tie between the 8-Ball, Keishi, Linz, Subway, me, and the Wheel. We all went 3-3.
You tied the Wheel and the 8-Ball.
Hey, you've done worse than the 8-Ball, so shush.
You tied it with the Wheel and the 8-Ball.
Yeah, you've done worse, so be quiet.
You tied the 8-Ball, Tim.
Yes, but you've done worse. Move on. In 6th place, tied up, we got Jobber, Omega, Sheila, and Tommy C. All got 4-2. And in 1st place, we have another multi-way tie. 5 ways. Amy, Chris P., The Intern, Rob, and Rock all went 5-1.
Woot, woot,
woot, woot. And, of course, that's the final pay-per-view for 2020. The next pick'em that we hold will be for the Royal Rumble. Now, that's going to be slightly different than what we normally do because there are those of us who get to enter the contest for the Rumble and are assigned numbers randomly, and that number will correspond with the superstar that comes out. And, of course, we got two Rumbles. We got the men's and the women's. So that's pretty much just about the only pick'em that's a little bit different, isn't it, Rock?
That's not really pick'em. That's a contest rather than a pick'em.
Well, still, it's part of pick'em.
But it's not. Just go with it. It's not just part of pick'em. It's called our Royal Rumble entry contest we hold every year. That's a thing. That's separate than pick'em.
Which is part of pick'em. Just shut up and go with it.
So you said this was the last pay-per-view of the year, correct?
The last WWE pay-per-view of the year.
Yeah, which means it's the end of this season of WTR Fantasy.
Yes, it is.
So here are the final totals.
I'm not listening.
Congratulations. Congratulations, Tim. It took 21 weeks, but you finally hit triple digits.
It's about goddamn time!
You were dead last with 113.
Awesome.
Followed by Omega at 136.
Nah.
The Intern at 169. Lindsay at 227. Keishi, for the first time, playing, we had 244. I had 347, which meant the rack beat WTR 743 to 491.
And it's all Casey's fault.
Hey, man, it's not my fault that Cross got injured. Otherwise, I probably would have done much better.
Probably. He was carrying your team.
Boy, was he ever.
No, I meant you were carrying the whole WTR team. You were the carrier of the group.
I mean, you know.
But that's okay. You guys have another chance. We're going to do fantasy again in January.
Yay.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll do another fantasy.
Don't ask me that.
I don't know. That being said, we're done for tonight, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us for this edition of WTR Sunday Night. Thank you for joining us for all of 2020. And that being said, this is the last live broadcast of this year. We'll be back in 2021. I hope that everybody has an absolutely wonderful holiday season, Christmas for those of you who celebrate Christmas. And harmonica for those of you who are my Jewish friends. I was just waiting for it. Anyway, have yourselves an absolutely wonderful holiday season, and we'll catch you in 2021. That being said, tomorrow night is still some live programming, Rock.
We'll be live 11 p.m. Eastern for the Raw post show. Did the Fiend live? Did he die? We'll find out tomorrow night. Monday Night Raw post show.
There you go. They're not going to be live this week, but they will have a recorded thing. I'm talking about the Rack radio show.
Yeah, it's Jingle All the Rack, available Thursday. We'll talk TLC and more. It's Jingle All the Rack, our Christmas special, available on Christmas Eve.
Believe it or not, Saturday night midnight ish, or as close as I get to it, it's the Boxing Day edition of CB Radio.
Tim's going to be on the show.
Am I?
Yeah.
It might be recorded.
Tim's going to be on the show.
There you go.
CB Radio, midnight is CBRadio.com. The start of season 3 of The Great and the Great Debate this Saturday.
There you go. And of course, like we said earlier, no Russ Talk Radio next Sunday night. We're doing the extended holiday thing. But we'll be back. We will. You can follow Wrestle Talk Radio and the Wild Talk Radio Network on the Twitter machine. You can. It's at WTR Sunday Night, at Wild Talk Radio. If you're not following, follow. You can follow on Facebook, facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. facebook.com/...
Come on, Tim.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
WTR Sunday Night. It's all together. It's branding.
WTR Sunday Night. You know, branding. I came up with that name, and you'd think I'd remember it.
It's anyway. Branding. We keep all the branding together as best as we can.
Well, you know, Omega tries to keep all the branding together as best as he can.
I mean, I did change my Facebook, so I'd have one less thing to rattle off. But yeah, like, if you want to see what I'm up to, then you can follow me just about anywhere where you search for TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel with over 1,000 videos worth of content. That is the website, tjomega.net. You can also find me over on Twitch, where I have been streaming the classic Final Fantasy VII the last week, and having a lot of fun making fun of that game. And if you want to find out what else I'm doing on the little other corners of the internet, over on Facebook and Instagram, you can find me at The Plastic Addict.
You can follow me on the Twitter machine, at Flames Forums. Get all the fun shit there. Get the serious political, controversial stuff at Voice Insanity. Food, I'm talking about food at Man Kitchen TV. Keishi,
yo,
start tweeting more than twice a week.
But I can't, because that would involve tweeting.
Well, then tweet.
All right, well. You can find me on Twitter at Kyle Driver, being that there's a storm coming. You'll see the obligatory Canadian picture of snow this week.
At least once, maybe twice.
Yeah, maybe twice. I might go sledding. We don't know.
You're going to go sledding?
I might go sledding.
Wow. All right. That being said, everybody, I'm going to leave you with this for Christmas. As I say goodnight, remember... Lethal Weapon is more of a Christmas movie than Die Hard. Have yourselves a great holiday season.
What about Batman Returns?
WildTalkRadio.com.